a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant. That's a G, yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe. Okay. Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Where are you guys at on Alex Bregman and potentially adding him back to the team?
Like I've always said, you know, arms are open. I want him back, you know. So I know that we haven't shut that door. You know, he's still a free agent. And as the, you know, as the manager of the team, you know, if I could have Alex Bregman back, we'd love to have him back. I've said how much I love and I care about this player and what he brings to the table. So, I want him back.
More door talk when it comes to whether or not Alex Bregman will return to the Houston Astros. This is the latest on that front. Will Kunkel, Fox 26, reported this. I am told the odds of the Astros signing Alex Bregman are, quote, very low, exclamation point, end quote, per source. Of course, that doesn't mean it won't happen, but it likely will not. And that's how I feel because, Joe, yes, they just traded Ryan Presley. Yesterday, they got him to trade, waive his no-trade clause less than, I guess, 24 hours ago. But you would think that $8.5 million saved when you're $3 million over the collective balance tax before said trade, you would think that it's not going to give you that much more money to play with to give Bregman a slightly increased offer from the six-year, $6.8 million deal that they have on the table for him.
Yeah, and Ari Alexander said that that current deal is unlikely to get this done. So, at least according to his sources, that like it would have to, the Astros have to increase their offer. I'm not sure I buy that either because like I feel like he would have been signed by now by the Red Sox or the Tigers unless everyone's just like we're all just going to offer the same thing and there's some kind of conspiracy going on. But I have minimal hope that Alex Bregman's actually going to be back. Like now, as FanFest was happening on Saturday and like everyone's talking about it, it's all really positive. It's all like we want him back. We're working on it. Door this, door that. But then now, like now that that's kind of come and gone, it feels all the reporting seems to be mostly more pessimistic. Which is fine. Like, it doesn't mean it's going to be right. You know, Will Kunkel saying in that tweet, like, it doesn't mean it's over. But my gut tells me he's not going to be back. I'm still hopeful he will be, though.
We all hope he'll be back.
Yeah.
But I'm skeptical.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's another move that they're about to make to save some more money. But it feels like they're staying with the same offer that they originally had for Bregman. So I feel like this move was just done to cut costs.
I think these moves are not as correlated as like they've been reported.
But that's what was happening over the last couple of days from Bob Nightingale and some of these other national baseball writers. It was putting these two deals together. Presley gets moved, means Bregman can come back. Well, now that Presley has been moved, now the Astros actually have to do it. Because that the way that they, I really feel that they kind of strong-arm Presley into taking the no-trade clause. It made him look bad. If you don't waive the no-trade clause to bring Bregman back, so the Astros had like a very convenient fall guy for them. Now here we are, and I will wait. But like Will Kunkel's reporting, I do not believe this means that they're going to go bring Bregman back, which I would like and I would be happy about. And, hey, figure out what the hell you do with who plays where after you get him back in the fold.
Yeah, just if you get him in the building, whoever wants to move around moves around, whether it's Altuve or Paredes or a combination. And most likely the scenario is that Altuve is just your primary left fielder, but Yordan Alvarez still plays, you know, 55 games or 50 games, you know, in left field this year. Dubon still plays quite a few games. And maybe Altuve plays, you know, less than 100 games in left field for the Houston Astros this year. All that's still very much on the table. So you can figure it out. But, yeah, I think it really is just not as connected as we thought it was because the reporting really, like, the way people were interpreting it was, like, what Presley gone equals Bregman back. And I think it's – it opens the door for Bregman to come back. Even though I don't really see how it does, I still don't think $8.5 million should deter you. I know there's a – okay, so the big thing is that there's a second level of the tax, which affects draft picks, you know, for qualifying offers and all these different things and international money. Now that they're below this threshold with Presley being moved, they can't offer the Bregman contract and stay below that second level of the collective bargaining tax. That, to me, seems like the would be the bigger goal if these things are connected, is avoiding that second penalty versus just taking the first one. But I don't think also – I hope we don't have to wait that long. I think it feels like this is done by the end of the week, right?
Well, the way you don't think it's going to happen, I thought.
No, I mean, at Bregman anywhere.
Oh.
The whole Bregman feels like there's been so much momentum for the last couple of days. Like
there hasn't been any momentum, Joe. There's just Presley's been traded to Chicago. That's it.
It's more that the offers that he's gotten elsewhere have been made clear to Scott Boras that they're not going up. So kind of circling back to Astros offer, it actually isn't that bad.
Yeah, I feel like everything's just like these are the deals you're getting.
Yeah.
And it's not like new teams aren't going to emerge. Like the
mystery team? You don't think a mystery team's lying in the way?
I don't think so.
Rule out a mystery team.
The mystery teams don't want to pay him 5 years. Don't want to give him 5 years. That's the problem. That's why he's not signed.
I mean, there was, I think it was Ari Alexander reported that the original deal is actually unlikely, like more unlikely than Bregman coming back, is that he comes back on the 6 year 156 deal, which kind of makes sense. Where I think if you're unsigned at this point, like you're looking at the Cody Bellinger, Blake Snell for a special of, oop, sorry, couldn't get you a good offer. How about 3 years with player options after each year, and we try again next year? Huh? How's that sound, Alex? I feel like that's more the most likely outcome for wherever Bregman signs.
Just give him like $40 million just to come back for 1 year.
I think you're over the second competitive threshold.
They'd be way over.
At that point, you should have kept Presley.
And he's not going to defer any money. You know, I keep seeing that on people asking Chandler and all these and Bob Nightingale is why doesn't Alex Bregman just defer money? Most of the deferral stuff is based around individual players' tax situations. Like you defer, like Shohei Ohtani's contract is deferred because he's going to move back to Japan when he gets all of his money, and he's not going to get taxed by the state of California on his contract.
Hell
so
yeah!
If Alex is living in Texas when his contract's deferred, like it makes no sense. There's no state taxes here. So that's why the Dodgers are able to do all this, because players are okay with it because they can move somewhere else later on and avoid all those penalties. So I don't think that's part of the solution here.
Gavin Newsom's not going to force the Dodgers to make Shohei pay those taxes.
He might try.
What are they going to do about Meghan Markle's Malibu beach house? What are they going to do about it? I don't know if she has a Malibu beach house now.
Also, what's Japan going to do with all this money that they're getting? All this Dodgers money that they're getting?
Good question. Bowtied Ken Rosenthal has some thoughts on where Alex Bregman could end up next. Here he was at the 100th annual, oh my God, New York Baseball Writers Dinner.
Their fans want Alex Bregman back, and the Astros are trying. I don't know how far it's going to get, but if I had to bet right now, I would bet the Astros in this negotiation. Even though they've made their offer, it was 6 years, $156 million. Jim Crane offered that to Bregman. But if they come up a little bit and he doesn't really have anything that he likes as much, now he supposedly has long offers along those lines. But again, it's where do you want to play? And if Alex Bregman goes back, apparently he'd play third. They'd move Paredes to second, and Jose Altuve would play left. That's interesting.
Now, that gets crazy, too.
Altuve said today, I will do this for Alex Bregman. I want Alex Bregman on my team. And from that perspective, that was, I thought, a really cool statement. Altuve's days as a great defensive second baseman are long gone. But at the same time, position change, he's a prominent player, Hall of Fame track. I thought that was an impressive statement.
Left field?
Left field.
It's riveting. Baseball writer conversation.
This is like really heavy breathing.
Yeah.
Blaming AJ Pruszynski for that.
I turned my mic off just in case it was me for a second. And I was like, just in case.
Just blind guess, because I think Pruszynski was on the panel with them.
Yeah.
That's AJ Pruszynski.
Totally.
That's a former catcher. Agreed. Heavy breathing.
It didn't sound like heavy breathing to me. It sounded like something else.
Well, yeah.
I mean, try to liven up the baseball conversation. I get it. Like, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
But that's, I mean, I heard sniffing. I didn't hear breathing. Just saying what I saw, what I heard, okay?
I don't think you do that the 100 annual.
What better York, time?
Yeah.
New York baseball media writer.
I mean, like, of
dinner.
All people, like, you think, like, AJ Pierzynski wants to be at that thing?
Oh, God.
With a bunch of nerds?
Sure. I'm sure he's super excited about
yeah.
that.
Why are you there?
Do you think he just has a table like to himself? And it's like high school where he's like, you can't sit with me. Sorry.
I would think
sorry,
so.
John Morosi. You can't sit with me.
Yeah.
I only let Ken Rosenthal do it with a stupid bow tie just because we, I guess, do a show together.
Does Ken Rosenthal's bow tie distract from his height?
I think so. They are for a good cause, at least during the playoffs. So we can't make fun of him when we're watching Astros playoff games, and then they go, he is there with this stupid bow tie, gives a report, and then it's like, by the way, this is for children's cancer. That's why he's wearing his bow tie.
Well, maybe he did. You know what? In his defense, maybe at the baseball writer's dinner, he did talk about whatever charity that bow tie was for.
Yeah, it's so many charities and so many bow ties. I mean, he has like 162 bow ties a year.
It's such ridiculous. Great cover for him, too, because we would be going way harder on the bow ties,
yeah, I mean,
if they weren't for,
bow ties
if they weren't for a good cause.
I've done a bow tie once, didn't like it.
Just once?
Yeah. I really didn't like it.
Why not?
I don't know. It just wasn't for me.
Why not?
It's hard to do.
I mean, yeah, just be honest. they are infuriatingly hard to do.
So hard.
Oh, really?
It took me a very long time to figure out how to do it. And like a lot of trial and error and me being a little obsessive compulsive and annoyed by a lack of symmetry. Yeah, I had a difficult time with it.
And I just keep redoing it.
Well, someone explained to me, it doesn't have to be perfectly symmetrical. And I was like, yes, it does! And then I sniffed.
Ah, livening it up.
I was livening it up. But yeah. That was because I had allergies, not because I was at the baseball writer's dinner. I was getting a little bit bored. I have a question, guys. I have a big question. And, you know, we ask this question a lot. Is Houston a baseball town? Is Houston a football town? Is Houston a basketball town? I mean, think about it. The Rockets, 12-4 against the best teams in basketball. They're 3-1 against the Cavs, against the Thunder. And our beloved Cougs pulled off a completely improbable win Saturday night over Kansas. Womp, womp, mother lover. I can't say that. Mother lover. I'm trying to watch my words a little bit more.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll believe it when I hear it. yeah. What a weird... That inbounds pass was terrible, but clutch. Yes. Right now, where the Texans are, where the Astros are,
Houston's a basketball town, dude. Two NBA titles, all those Final Four appearances by our beloved Cougs. Like, womp it up.
There is no city in the country that has a better pro and college basketball combo than Houston right now.
Yeah, because there's very few other colleges in the country that have a good basketball program within the city limits.
Man, let me look at what Cleveland State's record is.
The only other possibility would be if it's USC, some of the New York schools like St. John's. There's no one in Boston. If Washington was good, like, because Washington's in Seattle.
But there's no NBA team in Seattle, famously.
That's true.
They might come back.
Famously.
Thank you for reminding me of that. The Seattle people would get mad at me for saying that.
Oklahoma, maybe? Oklahoma State?
Yeah.
Like, Oklahoma.
I guess so. But they don't have Kelvin Sampson anymore at Oklahoma. And I don't know how far Norman is from Oklahoma State.
It's like 40 minutes.
It's too close, probably. I don't know what's worse, Norman or Oklahoma City, but whatever the case. Yeah.
I've never been at Norman. I don't want to, so.
This is the center of the universe when it comes to basketball. I got a confession to make. I was watching the Cougs game Saturday night at El Tiempo, and I saw, and I don't know if it was Emmanuel Sharp or LJ Cryer take a three from the corner and just absolutely airbricked the hell out of it. And I looked down and I'm like, damn. Not the kind of womp-womp I was looking for tonight. So I looked down, and then I looked back up, and I'm like, because there was 30 seconds left, and they were down 6. And then I check up, and it's a double overtime. So I was like, wait a second, what the hell happened?
I think I saw a lot of people, and I'm one of them. I was watching, because it was a good game, and then I drifted towards the Rockets game. And then I saw Twitter explode and went back for the second overtime. I missed the first overtime.
Malik Wilson. Damn, dog. 18 points. And to not just get steal the inbound pass, but also have the wherewithal to step back outside the three-point line and splash. Because it's not like he was shooting a bunch of threes in this game. He was 2 for 3 on the game. Damn, dog.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah, no. Shoot more.
Yeah.
They need shooting.
It's
the one thing that kills them in the final.
They play football. This is why I like the Rockets and the Cougs, because they play football and their basketball. Like the Cougs defense, Cougars swarm. Like when the Cougars are swarming defensively, you know?
Yeah.
Aziz Alshireing everybody out there. That's how you pull back from down 6 at the end of regulation. And that's how you pull back from down 6 at the end of overtime. Kansas choking dogs.
I think that's going to be my first. I've been waiting to go to the Fertitta Center. I've been dying to go. I think I'm just going to fork up the money and just go.
For Kansas?
For Kansas.
When they come back?
On March 3rd.
When does it get credentialed?
Well, we have them somewhere, but I don't know how that works there. I think I just want to go as a fan, kind of, actually. Being media is lame sometimes.
You can watch from the media area and enjoy a match.
That's true. That's true. A match.
You could enjoy a match from the media area. Yeah, I mean, look, I will say, of all the places that you go and you sit in the media sitting, media rows or whatever, like, it's the best view.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Well, then maybe not.
By far the best.
Then why would I buy a ticket? Then I didn't know that.
I don't know.
I didn't know it was good. I just said.
No, I didn't know you didn't want to.
Fertitta Center's less than 20,000 people. That's of course, true. It's good.
Joe's not committed to the cause, though, because he's unwilling to give money to the Cougar basketball program.
I give plenty of money to the Cougar basketball program.
How do you do that?
I go to Tillman's restaurants. I don't think that's how it works. Yes, it is.
It's all get thrown in a pot.
It's the Fertitta Center. If you go to a Fertitta restaurant, you are supporting.
That's an academic institution.
No. It all funnels into one thing. Whether Rockets, Cougs, restaurants.
I don't think
gambling
so.
Money losses. Like very it all funnels here. Into Tillman.
It was fun to see the Rockets win as well. Amen Thompson had a triple double against the Cavs Saturday night, and I really enjoyed this quote from him. I like that the Rockets are taking on a little something from the greatest movie franchise known to man.
30-14. What kind of chemistry is this Rockets team building?
Great chemistry. I mean, like I say all the time, we're a family. You know, I love those guys. They helped us get this win, and I'm proud of us.
Jayshon, Tari, Steven, how important is the bench and the depth to this team?
So important. Defensively, getting offensive rebounds, you know, they do all the little things, and we got so many great guys that do that. It helps us win.
Hell yeah.
Family. I was almost expecting a song to come after that. Amen Thompson is awesome. He's so incredible. How different this team looks. And they started the season off great. Like, we all know that. But, like, how much better they look with the men in the starting lineup, it's remarkable. He continues to play great basketball. Like, he's shooting the ball efficiently or just getting to the bucket efficiently. The rebounds are all over the place. It doesn't show enough statistically what he does defensively for this team. It's just a total game vibe changer for them. To beat the Cavs back-to-back games, a team that has only lost 9 games on the entire season. They only lost 2 games at home the whole year. Like, they continue to surpass every expectation. I cannot wait to see what happens tonight.
Yeah, it's a big game. I mean, look, the Celtics are playing better. They killed Dallas over the weekend. They have had some rough stretches this year. Obviously, the last time the Rockets played the Celtics spanked them. And this game's in Boston at the Garden. You know?
That's why it's important.
Home of the 18-time champions. But if they win, we can start to have stupid conversations. I don't think anyone's expecting a title, but the possibility of a deep playoff run, it is 100% happening right now.
100%.
It's definitely possible. I don't know what deep means. I would imagine still second round, like a noble exit in the second round. But, they just keep on finding ways to win. And I get it. Weren't the Cavs were missing somebody on Saturday night.
And a lot of Cavs fans are bitching about that. And
Isaac Okoro, I believe.
Yeah.
It was second night of a back-to-back.
Right. It was second night of a back-to-back.
Against the Sixers, who they also lost to.
Right.
Exactly.
And Kenny Atkinson was bitching and moaning about the refs, which was kind of funny because he's basically brought up, hey, man, I mean, they had 46 free throw attempts. And then somebody asked a follow-up question. They're like, yeah, you gave Steven Adams 6, dude.
Yeah, they did. And he made them all. Yeah.
They were intentionally fouling Steven Adams in the third quarter.
Yeah, the free throw disparity was 45-26. So even if you took away those 6, like 30, whatever. It's just people are always going to complain about that stuff. Like when it's whether it, both sides, like if it was flipped and the Rockets lost, people will be talking about free throw disparity. It's always the topic of conversation, but it's also never going to be perfect. It's actually one of my least favorite complaints in all sports.
What?
Is free throw disparity. Because it's never going to be perfect. Like, it's never going to be like each team shoots 25 free throws.
Well, it also...
Like, it never happens that way.
There's also just so many factors that go into it. Like, well, what if you never drive the ball? Then you're never going to get... You're never going to draw fouls.
If you take 39 threes, instead of taking 11 more threes than the Rockets, drive to the paint 11 more times, you might get fouled on half of them. There's 10 more free throws.
You could also get fouled, not shoot free throws. Like, there's just so many ways that it's like not... It's not as easy as just going, oh, look. They robbed us.
It's about what's fair, to quote the late Harvey Dent.
Shout out to Harvey Dent.
Shout out to Harvey
Dent. Gone too soon.
Gotham's White Knight.
I don't know if he's gone too soon. He kind of sucked at the end.
What do you mean? Like, bad performance or bad guy?
Bad guy.
Is he bad guy?
Two-Face? Two-Face? Bad guy?
He nearly killed a kid.
Yeah, nearly. But you flipped the coin. We don't know. The coin might have been...
I mean, he dropped the
kid. It wasn't up to the coin.
It was up to the coin. The power of the coin. what was the thing that John and Lance do?
The coin is spoken.
The coin is spoken.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Harvey Dent, not a great guy. Rockets, good basketball team, though.
Mm-hmm. Great point. Great point, Joe. He's Joe. I'm Paul Shaw behind the glass. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. We take a look at what happened at conference championship games yesterday and the most hilarious Friday news dump of all time. Stay put.
The coin has spoken.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Set, hush.
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant and Joe George. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time. Two teams left. Super Bowl licks. It's going to be the Philadelphia Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs. In case you missed the games yesterday, first, the Eagles clobbered the Commanders 55-23, 36 carries for 229 yards and 7 touchdowns. It's the most postseason touchdowns that have been scored in a playoff game since, I believe, the Chicago Bears beat the Washington, then Redskins, 73-0. And it happened to the Commanders again here.
It was a good story, but the way the Philadelphia's changed their offense, like the way they're running the ball, they're incredible. Like the tush-push we saw about it was in Buffalo. They're still very good at it, even though they had the one drop snap because they had the injury at center. But Saquon Barkley was dynamic in this game. And Vic Fangio did a really good job like slowing Jaden Daniels down. I mean, Terry McLaurin, these rookie corners, like I know we talked about Lassiter not being named, you know, as part of the finalists for Defensive Rookie of the Year, but Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean were incredible in this game. Like, Terry McLaurin was a non-factor. Zach Ertz was the only guy that could get anything going.
Pretty much. McLaurin did have a nice reception early on for the touchdown, but yeah, for the most part, everything was a struggle for Jaden Daniels, who was, I thought, pretty inaccurate in this game. And you put the football on the ground 3 times, you get penalized 9 times. Marshawn Lattimore is throwing like a temper tantrum on the field after getting just completely toasted by Jaylen Brown, then tries to fight him after a touchdown. Yeah, they didn't look like they were ready for the moment. And it's a shame because I thought they showed some chutzpah. I mean, that fake punt that they did, that was a great punt, great throw by their punter. It's one of the best, honestly, maybe better than every throw that Jaden Daniels made yesterday.
It was a good throw, and yeah, I do respect Washington for coming out and realizing how outgunned and outmanned they were. They coached and played like it, like an underdog does, and just they had enough plays go their that didn't go their way. Mainly all the fumbles that didn't go their way.
Yeah,
yeah, that's how you lose by 30.
I still hate the field goal though. To go for it, the twice first field goal fourth down.
Yeah. 18-play drive for a field goal, yeah. then a 73-yard touchdown by Saquon Barkley. Yeah, game was over.
Like, to have another fourth down, which you've already converted to, like, just keep going for it. Like, what's the point in kicking the field goal?
Getting zero after that try.
Well, it didn't matter because they got, you know, seven in one play on the first play of the game for the Eagles. So, I would have kept going for it, but, like, I give the Commanders so much credit for doing this, like,
fun story.
So jealous.
The Chiefs beat the Bills 32-29 in the AFC Championship game. Patrick Mahomes, 18 of 26 for 245 yards and a touchdown. He also had 11 carries for 43 yards and two more touchdown runs. He put his shoulder into people this week, so a man card restored.
I think I got to take it away.
For what?
The spike. The spike celebration.
No, he just left his hand.
It was pretty terrible.
Whatever. It's
man card in question.
Well, because
the ball slipped out.
Of his hands.
It looked bad. It looked unmanly.
While he scored a touchdown, how did it look unmanly?
Lowered his shoulder to score a rushing touchdown.
Xavier Worthy had six catches for 85 yards and a touchdown. Remember when the Bills had the Kansas City Chiefs draft pick?
Yeah. Which time?
Good point.
The time when they had the 10th pick in the draft and then they traded it to Kansas City so they could take Patrick Mahomes. Oh, you mean the time when they could have taken Xavier Worthy, but they let the Chiefs have him?
Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
At least they got Keon Coleman.
I do like Keon Coleman.
Keon Coleman's fun.
Yeah. Well, one catch, 13 yards. Come on.
At least they have Dalton Kincaid. Oh, damn. I mean, that would have been a tough catch at the very end, but that was a terrible play call in 4th and 5. I think Sean McDermott's limited as a head coach. I used to like him, but... And this has nothing to do with the speeches and stuff. They were clearly playing for him at the end of last year, but I think the difference between the Bills and the Chiefs in this game was not the two calls that went against the Bills. It was not the 4th and short play where Josh Allen might have gotten the first down. I'm honestly not as sold as many people are saying that he got it. And then on that reception that Xavier Worthy had that didn't look like one but was still a defensive holding, so they would have had a first down anyways. 23 yards of field position gained, but... I think that the Bills lost this because they forgot they had James Cook, that they had bad play calls on offense, and Joe Brady, their offensive coordinator, is the one I would be looking at the most, who definitely had things going very well for the Bills down the stretch last year. But, I mean, James Cook had 13 carries for 85 yards. He's averaging 6 yards a carry, and you forgot he existed in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
He was on the field for the first 5 plays of the last drive that they had, which they got the ball back with
crazy.
three and a half minutes and 3 timeouts. And no James Cook? What are you doing?
Yeah, and that's why I think the matchup, you know, in 2 weeks is really interesting because we saw what James Cook could do, and then we saw in the other game what Saquon Barkley can do. Like, I think the Eagles got a real shot at this one. If Kansas City can't stop the run... Philadelphia has been the best running team we've seen in a long, long time collectively. It's a fascinating matchup because of that.
The thing that concerns me for Philadelphia is the coaching staff around Nick Sirianni. Sure, it has Kellen Moore doing a good job with this team, but I feel like when it had Steichen and when it had Jonathan Gannon, ironically... Feel like things were a little bit better. Talent-wise, the Chiefs, this is going to be one where they're actually going into it, and the Eagles have more. I think the Eagles are a more talented team. But who do you trust? Do you trust Kansas City, or do you trust a Nick Sirianni coach team to not make the dumb mistakes?
No, you trust Kansas City.
I'm still picking Kansas City to win this game. I will be rooting for the Eagles, which is weird, but I'm going to try to develop a really good Philadelphia accent by the end of the week. And next week, we got 2 weeks before the Super Bowl.
What do they sound?
They overpronounce their O's. You won't get a hoagie down at Wawa.
Oh, okay.
There's a Delco accent. I'm gonna maybe watch Mayor of Easttown in the background the next couple of days. Try to pick it up again. Biggest Friday news dump of all time: the Dallas Cowboys hired Brian Schottenheimer to be their next head coach at like 9 o'clock.
It was incredible to act like you're not embarrassed by this hire, and honestly. I feel bad for Brian Schottenheimer now. I mean, he has just gotten one of the, like, a dream job, and people are just torching him for nothing that he's done. But they didn't help.
He's done nothing.
Yeah.
He only has a job because of his dad, who was the biggest playoff choker of all time, RIP.
And it really doesn't make sense, like, why he's the coach. But I can't believe they put it out at 9 o'clock on a Friday night. Like, it's just, it shows you what they think of it. Like, that's where you put news about players being suspended and, like, cheating scandals. Not proudly hiring the next head coach of your franchise. It was so strange.
I love how Jerry, I guess, when he was announcing the move, was asked about Brian Schottenheimer. So, like, well, he's not Brian anymore. Yeah, okay.
Coach.
Yeah. This is a quote, by the way, from Brian Schottenheimer at one of his press conferences, because he was offensive coordinator of the Cowboys this past season. And I guess there was a tour of Cowboys fans that were walking through the halls, and they stumbled into the actual press conference room. Here's Brian Schottenheimer acting like he's a nobody.
Hey, everybody.
How are you doing?
Good, good. Big tour coming through.
Big tour,
uh-oh. Big tour, huh? Man, they would have got here a little earlier. They could have seen somebody more important.
You like a zoo animal?
Yeah, at times. At times we do. They're saying, who is that guy?
Shoddy.
I don't know who in the crowd said, Shoddy. I don't know if it was Brian or if that was a random reporter.
Probably a random reporter.
I appreciate that.
Shoddy.
I like that.
I will say, for most this year, I didn't realize Brian Schottenheimer was the offensive coordinator for the Cowboys. I kind of forgot. It was like, I thought it was just like Mike McCarthy's show. So I kind of get what he even is saying about himself there. Unimportant. But hey, you're now the coach of the Cowboys. Good luck. Good luck to you.
He's going to need it.
The tour stuff is so funny.
And it happens in the middle of his introductory press conference.
And it's also something that happened, well, not the introductory press conference. This was like in week 12 or whatever this year. But the it happens, like, all the time, enough where Dalton Schultz, like, he's the one who said you feel like a zoo animal at times after he left, and Cowboys fans got all bent out of shape, and then their next head coach has an interview or a press conference interrupted or, you know, delayed because of something, and someone goes, feel like a zoo animal? He goes, yeah, at times. It's just like, yes, this feels like a zoo animal. This is not a professional environment.
I don't know how you can get fans to be hopeful when you make a hire like this. I was talking with a couple of Cowboy fan friends of mine on Saturday about how they felt about the move, and they said, yeah, we're just waiting for Jerry to, you know, go.
Yeah.
Respectfully, of course.
But they're waiting.
They added that qualifier at the end, but yeah, they're just waiting for him to leave.
Yeah. And then Stephen Jones' show.
Like, when have you guys ever seen a hire just be, like, panned like this by the fans? I mean, fans are normally...
David Culley.
Yeah.
Lovie Smith.
Yeah.
Josh McCown.
He wasn't hired. But, like, a normal situation... Like, I would say, like, the Texans were a non-normal situation. Where, like, most of the time people are excited about a hire. Like, fans talk themselves into it. Like, I don't see Cowboys fans trying to talk themselves into Brian Schottenheimer.
Were you excited about Matt Eberflus when they first hired him?
I was okay with it.
So you weren't.
But like I talked myself into it.
Yeah,
like,
I feel like it was going to work. You get a lot of like meh hires where you talk yourself into it. You don't get a lot of like, well, this is a disaster, like where people immediately are just like, ugh.
Because like even like Lovie Smith, like it's like, well, you know, he was
professionalizing.
You know, 10-win coach. He was 10 wins when he got fired in Chicago, and you know he could have turned things around in Tampa, but he got screwed out of a
steady
job.
Hand.
Yes.
Not Josh McCown.
Yeah. Not David Culley.
Not David Culley.
Like,
not
you talk
McCown.
Yourself into it, but like this one, Matt Eberflus, defensive coordinator for Brian Schottenheimer.
Yeah, that's
good luck.
What's going to happen?
Oh wow.
Good luck.
Well, he was a good coordinator, I think.
For the Colts?
He was a good coordinator, but he was nearly fired by the Colts when the Bears hired him. And, like, Hail Mary. Like, that's, like, he didn't know how to call the plays.
Oh, that, how's he supposed to get everyone looking at the ball?
Maybe don't blitz everyone. Okay. I mean, like, it's a good hire, but it's not a good luck.
Clint Kubiak's the Seahawks offensive coordinator. I think John McClain's very upset about that. He wanted a Kubiak back in the building.
There's other Kubiaks.
Yeah, there's a couple more.
Hard pass on all of them. No offense to the Kubiak clan. No offense.
The 49ers hired Robert Saleh as defensive coordinator after he did not get a head coaching gig. And are the Saints going to hire anyone?
I think they're waiting for Joe Brady.
Well, they can have him.
I don't think. No, I thought Joe Brady turned him down.
Oh no, I think you're right. I think that did come out this weekend. That he was staying in Buffalo. Mike McCarthy,
David Culley,
or the name that was first connected to them, who's still coaching, Matt Nagy. They are flying to Philadelphia to meet with Kellen Moore this week too.
Okay,
so I mean, at this point, you got to meet with somebody, like just to feel like you're doing something.
Land the plane in his open mouth.
I think Mike McCarthy might be their best option if they're not going to. I mean, I would turn the job down if I was Kellen Moore.
I don't want
that job.
But if you're Nagy,
I think Nagy might get one more shot if he stays in Kansas City. So I think I'd wait.
If I'm Nagy, I would never leave.
Yeah,
I would stay with Mahomes for the rest of your career.
I would stay long enough to where you're the internal hire after Andy Reid retires.
I mean, they talked about Andy Reid retiring.
I would just stay around for as long as that takes.
Yeah, I think I'd just wait out Andy Reid. He's not going to die like Jerry Jones.
No, just for him to
retire.
Retire.
Yeah.
You'll wait out Andy Reid.
Yeah. Until he...
Respectfully,
until he leaves.
That's why I want to clarify that.
Hey, what are you going to do? Like, put extra triple cheeseburgers in his office?
I think this guy seems like he just house burgers. Like, he eats McDonald's burgers like we used to eat Crave cases. Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, he looks like the Popeye's, like, bro? Like, his friend in Popeye the Sailor Man? Is that dated reference? A little bit.
But I get it.
He's got a fatty boom fatty friend. I'm not talking about Bluto, the bad guy. He has a friend who just like eats hamburgers. Like that's it. That's all the value he provides. Just constantly eating hamburgers. Anyway, guys, it is Gallant and George. He's Joe. I am Paul. Sean is behind the glass. 713-780-3776 to call to text. What could be learned by the Houston Texans from conference championship weekend? I got a couple. Get good coordinators. Get a Steve Spagnuolo type on the offensive side of things. Or a Kellen Moore type on the offensive side of things. Really, what we're trying to say is you need better coordinators. D'Amico Ryans needs some help. And this coaching staff, look at it top to bottom. It's rather limited in experience, which is why they are looking for another offensive coordinator right now.
Yeah, and if you really like hire an offensive coordinator who sucked as a head coach but is a good coordinator. Because you're stuck with them. Like they're unless you fire them. Steve Spagnuolo should be a head coach in the NFL. I cannot look what the Chiefs are doing every single year. And it's not like Matt Nagy makes sense because you believe in Andy Reid and you believe in Mahomes, you don't believe in Nagy. But like Spagnuolo should be a head coach somewhere else. But because it failed so disastrously the first time for him, no one's gonna hire him for some reason. So like if you hire a veteran coach who's not gonna be a head coach again, you just kind of got your man. So I'm with that.
So you want to hire an old? You're basically
Chip Kelly.
Yeah, you're looking for the. I guess this isn't a dot don't shop. You're looking for a pet that's been housed, yeah. Like that was a good pet, and maybe its owner passed away,
but still has like 10 years left.
Yeah, no, you want one that's already been trained,
right?
Yeah. You don't want another Bobby Slowick
puppies.
No, Bobby Slowick, nope. You pee outside, Bobby Slowick. You don't want that.
This is like a good dog, and the person can't take the care of the dog anymore, and you're offering like money to bring it into your fold because you're going to have to pay more for it. Yeah, you don't want – listen, I know people say adopt, don't shop. I would just say, like, keep in mind, those dogs have been through some hell, and, like, you're going to have to get them through that. Just saying. So you don't want to be looking for that if you're a Texans front office person looking for that next coordinator. No, don't do the retreads. Do the really good coordinators, okay?
Other things I learned this weekend. Get good interior offensive linemen.
Yeah, that seems that like would, it would that, help.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, my gosh, the Commanders had no chance against Jalen Carter.
Yeah, Jalen Carter just bitch slapped the guy.
He knocked him out.
Knocked him down like two feet back.
I think there's some flopping.
But didn't he leave the game on that play?
I forget.
I think
I forgot which offensive lineman left.
It was their center. He got hurt.
It might have been him.
But, like, yeah, Jalen Carter. I didn't know you could knock someone down like that with a helmet on.
Yeah, he slapped him, and and he went down.
Yeah.
It was great. Getting guys on the interior defensive line like that can help. But guess what? The Texans have that. Figuring out how to have just a decent running game. Just decent. Decent. That's it. You don't need to have 7 touchdowns on the ground. You don't need to have a running back averaging 6 yards a carry. You just need to be decent, whether it's figuring out how to design runs for your quarterback or figuring out how to make it so that your offensive line isn't making things more fun for Joe Mixon. Because that's what they do. They make it more fun for him.
Yeah.
It's fun for Joe Mixon.
He gets to press the circle button a bunch.
Yeah.
Do a lot of cool jukes.
Yeah. He pushes like 3 buttons a play to get like 3 yards. That's what Joe Mixon has.
He's a juke stick artist.
Do you think running backs are back, though, now? Because of Barkley?
Back. They're so back.
So, like, dude. Do the Texans going to have to pay Joe Mixon now?
They already did.
More?
No. Well, he signed a contract.
It's not that long. It's only 1 more year.
Yeah. And then figure it out after that.
Yeah.
I'm just curious.
Lifetime contract.
Because a lot of people are
I think
to,
it matters.
Like,
I think it matters for, like...
And I'm like...
I think if it, sure. there's Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry, yes. They should make more than Tyler Boyd, which is what they're both getting paid. Or in that neighborhood of, like, a solid third receiver. It's like, no, actually having the best or second best running back in the league, more valuable than that. But I don't think that means that, you know, Rico Dowdle should get more money or that, you know, insert random running back here. I don't think that's what that means.
There are a select few who are worth spending a lot on, but it's not everybody. And you do have to be careful about when you give it out. Cause at one point Ezekiel Elliott was one of those guys. And then they gave him that contract. And then next thing you know, like you always have to be careful with it. But if you have a competent quarterback, adding the running back to the mix is awesome. I still think the Giants did make the right move in letting Barkley walk from this perspective. Like, hey, were they going to win with Barkley and Daniel Jones? No, it would be nice to have Barkley instead of what they had this past season for sure. And for him to go to the Eagles and run for 2,000 yards and for 3 touchdowns, including one on the first play of the game yesterday. That's going to sting a little bit. But I kind of get why they let him walk because they're not winning with Saquon Barkley and Daniel Jones.
The mistake was paying Daniel Jones.
Exactly.
It's like the Astros where they've had to make so many moves because of the mistake of Jose Abreu and Rafael Montero. Like, the mistake was 2 off-seasons ago when they signed Daniel Jones to that money.
Yeah, because I feel like running backs just, like pay James Cook, draft Jahmyr Gibbs, sign Derrick Henry, sign Saquon, if you're a good football team. Like, those are all good moves. If you're the Atlanta Falcons, like, maybe it doesn't make sense to take Bijan Robinson when you're not that close to winning, even though they thought they were. I don't want the Texans to do the tush push.
That was gonna be one of the things I learned was tush push looks good when the Eagles do it. Don't bother.
Yeah, I'll keep it out of Houston.
Yes,
don't need it.
Look at how the Bills try to do it and how bad they are at it.
I don't understand why teams don't study the Patriots, Tom Brady quarterback sneak.
A great question.
Why do they all try to copy the Jalen Hurts? Where it's like chances are your quarterback is more physically alike or maybe even physically superior than the athleticism from Tom Brady.
100%. Listen, Brady was one of the least athletic quarterbacks to ever play the game and is in better shape now than he was in the league and at the NFL combine that he was at, okay? That guy and all the pliability stuff, the TB12 method, whatever, that guy was automatic at QB sneaks. Josh Allen is so slow getting into those QB sneaks. It's insane how slow he is, and he's a tank, and okay, maybe it's a little bit more difficult for him to get going, but that is, if you're working on QB sneaks, I'm with you. Like, this idea that the tush push is the way every single time. No. If you got a battering ram like Josh Allen, Josh has got to get the snap as quickly as possible and drive forward. And for whatever reason, like, they kept on calling that play when it's very clear that play does not work well for them.
Tony Romo called it out the first time they did it, where he likes to take it and then go over the left guard. Like, he likes to go over the left. And the first time they did it, guess what? Steve Spagnuolo and the Kansas City Chiefs, they watch film too.
Yep.
Like, they know that you want to go over the left guard. Like, that they know that. So, like you say, like, it's also spending more time to get out to that position. I don't understand everyone's fascination with the tush push. And, like, it works for the Eagles.
Yeah, because the Eagles' offensive line is great, and Jalen Hurts can squat 12,000 pounds. Like, he's a
there's
man.
There's plays where it hasn't worked.
Yeah, and even then, I think they got stopped on at least one. But I think
it was a bad snap.
I think they did it. Yeah, and they did it on third down, and so they could just try it again on fourth down.
Yeah.
One last lesson to learn from conference championship weekend for the Houston Texans. Don't trade with the Chiefs. Just don't do it. Don't do it.
No draft Bills, trades with the Chiefs.
The Bills have been trade raped by the Chiefs twice. Yeah. Patrick Mahomes, Xavier Worthy.
The second one might not be as bad, but it is ironic.
Well, it was bad. It was bad yesterday.
Yeah, it's the reason they're sitting at home. I told Dell, I was like, I didn't think that the – can you believe that the Bills traded the pick that became Xavier Worthy and, oh, my God, we just lost a playoff game because of Xavier Worthy. I didn't think that would be the first game. I thought that would be 2 or 3 years from now when the Bills lose in the playoffs to Xavier Worthy. I thought it would be year 2 or 3. I didn't think it would be rookie year. Oh, darn. Whatever, 12 months ago, we traded this guy to him.
Nick Wright is trying to say that this is the modern-day version of the Curse of the Bambino, the Babe Ruth trade. that the Bills are now cursed for trading Patrick Mahomes to the Chiefs.
I think they need to lose to not Patrick Mahomes for that to be the case. I think they need to lose a couple times to the Ravens, which they didn't
last year.
They need
the Texans to go to the Super Bowl first before they get there.
Yeah.
For it to be that
or Josh Allen's career to end without any Super Bowl appearances.
Yeah.
Like maybe. But yeah, losing to the Chiefs the last 4 years, that's not quite the curse of the Bambino. That's more that team's way better than us.
Yeah.
It is crazy though. They own him in the regular season and the Chiefs own him in the playoffs.
Do you think at this point it's on purpose? The Chiefs are like purposefully not tanking that game, but are just like, let's actually it's not that big of a deal if they win this.
It's definitely not that big of a deal. But what's crazy is
it funnier when we beat them in the playoffs.
They were still 15-2 this year. Lost that game. Still had several games up on the Bills at the end of the year.
Punted the last game of the season. Yeah.
they didn't even have to play in the last game.
They basically went 15-1.
They did.
The only time they lost was to the Chiefs.
This is insane.
To the Bills by multiple scores.
I know everyone hates them, but like, come on. Be impressed. People hated the Warriors too, and I get it, but because they would beat the Rockets and the Chiefs would beat the Texans, but I don't know, man. I tip the hat and I'm not going to blame the refs.
I was fine with the Chiefs until the last like 7 days.
Until they beat the Texans?
No, man. These whiny, bitchy media members there are so annoying.
Who?
All of them.
See, to me, it's more annoying that all the, at least last night.
The ones here and there.
Yeah.
Annoying.
All the Houston fans and media people like bitching about calls that the Bills weren't getting. I'm like, guys, grow up. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I think less of a lot of people for how they watched that game last night. I think less of you.
Yeah, the Mahomes flop is one thing, but the complaining, it's just, I hate Chiefs fans. So
I'm cool with him. I went viral on TikTok because I pandered to Taylor Swift. I have a TikTok. I've never had a TikTok blow up like this. It's got like 100,000 views, and everyone's just saying like, yes, queen, yes. Remember when I had my little rant about Travis Kelce's ex?
Yes.
I did not think that would like turn into like a – I'm apparently like the king of standing for Taylor Swift. And if you think I'm not going to continue to try and pander, you bet your bottom dollar I will.
I was going to say
you got
like
2 weeks of
– yeah. Like, how many times are we doubling down on this?
Well, last year before the Super Bowl, we did the Taylor Swift update.
The
day
we're gonna
something.
Do it again. Taylor Swift update is back, guys. It's back. It'll be back tomorrow. I have an insider, a Taylor Swift insider, who I used to date. Who's
Taylor
giving
Swift.
Me details?
Okay.
You know what? She sent me something new today. We're on good terms again, so we're gonna be giving you all sorts of Taylor Swift facts. And I'm just gonna admit it selfishly, so that I can continue to have my ass kissed on TikTok.
All right.
For telling a woman to shut the bleep up.
What's good for you is good for me.
Not toxic at all. He's Joe and Paul, Sean behind the glass, stay put. It's Galata George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.